From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker, and what a show we have for you today. It's our very special New York City vacation edition of Inside the Parker. Let's go.
Batter up.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
So it is a vacation edition of Inside the Parker. I'm in New York. Normally, you know, I'm in Los Angeles. And of course, being in New York, I'm going to baseball games. I went to a Yankees game on Father's Day at the stadium. I went to a Mets Braves tilt on Tuesday night at Citi Field. So I've been covering baseball, catching baseball in that Yankees game on Sunday on Father's Day. I was there for the triple play, which ended the game, which was pretty amazing. And last night, of course, the Braves beat the Mets. But I want to talk about the Yankees and what's going on. I mean, they're still in the hunt. They're still above 500. But my goodness, something has to change. Last night against the Royals in the game that they lost, Gerrit Cole had the lead in the eighth inning, and somehow the Yankees still lost it. But they were 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position, and they left 13 men on base all night and lost 6-5. And the Yankees are really scuffling, batting 217 with runners in scoring position, which is incredible. And the Yankees now, only two other teams in baseball are worse than the Yankees' 217 batting average. And that's the Pittsburgh Pirates at 211 and the Milwaukee Brewers at 203. So this team is like all or nothing, swinging for the fences, home runs, or strikeouts. I mean, they're not driving in runs. They're leaving guys on base. They're not making contact, moving people over, sacrifice flies. This has to stop. I mean, this is mind-boggling how bad the Yankees are. And yet, they're still over 500, which is shocking, and they're still in the playoff hunt.
Number two.
Yes, sir. Two-way sensation, Shohei Me the Money Ohtani, that's what I like to call him. That's right. Made history again on Wednesday. And as he hit for himself as the pitcher and was second in the batting lineup against the Giants, right, even with the designated hitter rules in place, it marked the first time in Major League history that an American League team chose not to use the DH and a National League team used one. Alex Dickerson was the DH for the Giants, and he hit second. And, of course, Ohtani made history by doing that. It's just this is an unbelievable year to watch this guy be a two-way player and continue to swing the bat well and pitch well. Ohtani was making his 11th start of the year. He entered Wednesday's game tied for the major league lead in home runs with 23, is hitting 269 in 68 games. And he's also set a career high in making the 11th start. He had made 10 starts in his rookie year in 2018. So he's doing it all. I think he looks like he could be the MVP of the American League, no matter where the Angels finish. But what a guy. He is must-see TV, Ohtani, every day, making history for baseball.
Number three.
Good news for the home run derby. Pete Alonso, the Mets masher, has decided that he is going to partake in the home run derby in Denver. That's great news. He will defend his title from 2 years ago, of course. There was no All-Star game, no home run derby last year during the pandemic. And the first baseman announced on Instagram Wednesday that he will indeed participate in his second career derby next month in July, after winning that derby in 2019. So that is good news to see the big man swing the big bat. Otani has announced that he is going to be a part of the Home Run Derby as well. And everybody knows the Home Run Derby has become a must-see event, you know, and rivaling the All-Star game itself. And it's great that, unlike the NBA, where some of the biggest stars don't want to participate in it, here, some of the biggest stars in the game want to participate in the Home Run Derby. And I think it's great. It's a great way to sell a game. It's exciting. And that's great news. Can't wait. I will be in Denver for that All-Star game and give you an All-Star edition of the Inside the Parker. So stay tuned for that.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
The beauty of baseball in the StatCast era is every little detail is now recorded for nerds like me to fawn over. But the metrics that have come along a little more slowly than others are the fielding numbers. But what we're seeing now, though, is the glove work start to become more common. Let's have some fun with sabermetrics, shall we? First off, any batted ball to the outfield comes down to catch probability, which is the likelihood for a ball to be caught, with metrics like opportunity time, that is, the moment the ball is released by the pitcher, and the distance needed to make that catch. The metric outs above average is the sum of all batted balls hit to an outfielder where the play is either credited to their overall number or debited if they don't make the play. For example, a fielder makes a catch on a ball with a 25% catch probability. He gets a plus 0.75 to his season-long ledger, though if he doesn't make that play, it's a minus 0.25. Now, with those catch probabilities, they're divided into categories from 1-star, which is a 91 to 95% catch probability, to 5-star, which is 0 to 25. This year, Boston's Kike Hernandez has the most 5-star catches with 3, while a pair of Rays lead in outs above average, as Manuel Margot and Brett Phillips prove their value to keep balls from falling, even if their offense has been a bit shaky. And a reminder, it's not just about dingers and strikeouts anymore.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
All right, normally on Foul Affair, we just throw it to J.R. Gamble from MLBBro.com, and he does his thing. But this whole pitching and Goo-Gate and all that stuff going on, there ain't enough time to just have him do it by himself. So we're going to break ranks on our normal Foul Affair segment, and we're going to do a debate, old-fashioned debate, me and J.R. Gamble. J.R. says it's foul what Major League Baseball is doing to the pitchers and making them change on the fly. And yours truly says it's fair because you know what? These rules are already on the books. J.R., you have the floor. And what's your problem with Major League Baseball cracking heads and undressing pitchers on the mound?
No way. That's baseball getting in its own way again, Rob. Listen, baseball's all about what? We can't change the game. Continuity. Baseball has a flow to it, a cadence that's being disrupted by these constant checks for goo and glob and substances. It's more disruptive, brother, than anything. We saw it in the Phillies Nationals game where you have a Hall of Fame pitcher, a guy that has put in work, won World Series, you know, and he's harassed several times by the umpires. And then Joe Girardi uses the rule to his favor to try to, you know, throw him off. That's not what the rule's intended for. It's not to do Jedi mind tricks with the pitchers and get them thrown off their game.
No. I got you, but here's my argument. The rules are on the books already. Oh. You're not supposed to be gooing balls up and all that. They let them get away with it. And here's my other point. Baseball can't wait. We're on our way to the worst offensive year in the history of baseball. More strikeouts than base hits. The lowest team batting league average ever in the game. We're talking about this is all-time low, so we need to fix this. The pitchers have a huge advantage, and it ain't right. This game got to be corrected, and we can't wait for next year. Let's get it right, and let's get this thing fixed and make it competitive again so batters have a chance against pitchers. That's all I'm saying, JR. I hear you. It's sticker shock because everybody's not ready for it, but you shouldn't be doing balls. You shouldn't be doing it.
That and you're talking about the batters not being able to hit. That's if it's the pitchers that's making the batters not hit and the spin rate and the goo that's making the batters not hit. To me, you're giving these guys an excuse.
Wait a minute. We got Jacob DeGrom has a 0.50 ERA.
Can't get past five innings. So it all evens out in the end.
But his ERA is ridiculous. When Bob Gibson had a 1.12, you know what baseball did? They lowered the mound the next year because it was an advantage between the next year and Mickey Lolich and people like that.
Listen, Rob. If it was that bad, then, like I said, we have to blame the little league coaches, the high school coaches, these AAU coaches, these developmental coaches for teaching this boomer bust launch angle style of hitting. Isn't it ironic that a guy like Michael Brantley, who when I spoke to an all-star game a couple years ago, he said, look, my dad didn't let me do nothing but hit line drives. When everybody on my team was hitting home runs, he said, look, you're going to go far by hitting line drives. Michael Brantley's hitting 353, Rob. Vlad Guerrero's hitting 340. Trey Turner, Jesse Winker, Cedric Mullins, Nick Castellanos, they're hitting 340, 330. Maybe they need to get some hitting jobs on Major League team. And stop blaming the pitchers because you're talking about batting averages being down. I'm seeing guys with Tony Gwynn numbers, 1 through 10 in the league. So something's got to give. It can't all be because you're wearing goo and sticky stuff, you know, and rubbing your bottom.
I got you. I mean, that's a fair argument. But we are seeing historic, and you're right. A lot of it has to do with guys swinging for the fences and launch angles, and I get that. But the shift doesn't help. You know, like taking away hits, guys hit the ball right up the middle and they're third baseman in center field. That ain't right.
With that. That doesn't have anything but my brother, that doesn't have anything to do with sticky stuff.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, but when you add all of that together with that, the hits and then the pitchers, we've had a record number of no hitters.
We have, right?
Okay, so there's got to be something that ain't right. We never had. We're just in June, and we got 6 no-hitters, and the record is 6 for a whole year. We might have 12 no-hitters if we play out the whole year. Something has to be fixed, and I get it. It's not all the goo, but the goo is an issue, and I think pitchers already know that they've been let off the hook for a long time. They just got to clean their rack, though.
Okay, before I finish demolishing you in this argument, let's just say this, all right? The pitchers don't need to be harassed right now. This wasn't the time to do it, and I don't think that is going to solve the problem. All it does is make the fans upset, because I've been gauging what the fans think on our various platforms, including our best platform, MLBBro.com. I've been gauging. They don't like it. White, black, Chinese, Asian, big, tall, or otherwise, none of the fans like this. And look at how the pitchers reacted in the game the other night. I just think that it's baseball trying to force the issue. I'm glad they have somebody on their side with you. It might be you and no one else. You and the commissioner are the only two people that think this is a good idea, brother.
Let me get Manfred on the phone here. It's all good.
ASAP.
My man, J.R. Gamble, of course, the managing editor of MLBBro.com. If you haven't checked out the site, it's fantastic. And his debate was good, but I don't know.
If you need a tissue, I got you.
Yeah, all right. There he is, J.R. Gamble. Appreciate you.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. jumping right into this with you. It looks like that kind of a season for the Padres and the Dodgers. San Diego's gotten the better of LA in recent days. I'm taking both of these teams on Friday night, in particular San Diego. They get the lowly Arizona Diamondbacks at home at Petco Park. Diamondbacks have set a Major League Baseball record for ineptitude on the road. Historic drawback for them. So I'm taking the Padres, the run line, and the Padres money line. Take those two to the bank. I'm also taking the Dodgers at home against the Chicago Cubs. They did not fare well earlier this season in the Windy City, so I'm taking Los Angeles there. On top of all that, I also have the Milwaukee Brewers at home. They get the Colorado Rockies, who are also awful on the road this season. You look at the National League West, in fact, you got the Diamondbacks and the Rockies that are the tail end of this division. And of course, San Francisco, LA, and San Diego, the top dogs. It is a top-heavy division. Rockies and the Diamondbacks, you fade them all the way out.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast a longtime friend of mine. Man, this guy knows more baseball than I can even remember. Branson Wright, who's a film maker and also a freelance sports writer for The Undefeated. And a guy who I know from way back, who even covered minor league baseball when he first got into journalism. What's up, Branson Wright? How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Rob. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Tell people, man, what'd you cover? The Michigan Whitecaps, didn't you?
Yeah, the West Michigan Whitecaps. And it was such a good way to jump into the league. My first year, we had a guy named Alex Rodriguez playing in Appleton, had a guy named Billy Wagner pitching, and I think he was on one of the Iowa teams. I can't remember the Houston Astros, what was their affiliate. But it was just Francisco Cordero was in the league. I mean, it was so many good players, and to see them start, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, and just to see how they developed makes you feel old. And especially since they're all retired now, but you got to see some good baseball while these guys were at a younger age.
No doubt. Unbelievable. I still remember those days, man. We used to talk baseball. You know where I am with baseball. But you wrote a piece for The Undefeated. This is why I was like, we got to talk. You wrote a piece that I enjoyed about Ricky Weeks and his historically black college and university baseball career. And, you know, people don't know that about him, but you write about he's one of the greatest college players, you know, from an HBCU. Just talk about Ricky Weeks and his career during college and now what he's doing to help younger kids get into baseball.
Well, what I loved about the Ricky Weeks story, and Rob, I don't know how you feel about analytics and
I hate them. Like I hate them.
Okay, thank you. You know, but I'll say this: analytics has its place, but it can't determine everything. It can't be 100% of how you judge baseball. Now, I say that because Ricky Weeks was not recruited out of high school. And he went to a good baseball program in Florida. He had some players on his team that went to the majors and got drafted and went to college. And this guy just wasn't looked at because, you know, we're not on television, but the air quotes, he didn't look like a baseball player. He was right. Skinny kid, under 6 feet. So as we all know, the eyes, let your eyes be the judge. So a Red Scout happened to be in Florida. He was a cross checker. He was down in Florida helping out some of the other guys with the Reds. And they were looking at some other kid, and this cross checker saw him, and he went to Southern. So he called the coach at Southern and said, hey, you may want to look at this kid. So one scholarship offer to Southern. He gets to Southern, hits over 400 his freshman year, wins the batting title in his second year, batting 495, not softball, 495 in baseball.
And this is the NCAA batting title, correct?
Yes. Then the next year he wins it again. it was a down year. He hit .479.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was really slumming that year.
So has these great numbers. He did something that I don't know if it'll ever happen again. He won the Golden Spikes Award, which is the best college player in the nation from an HBCU. So, and he gets drafted. But I just got to go back, Rob. He just, you know, he didn't have the analytics and somebody just needed to see him and that could judge baseball. And I always have to go from my alma mater, University of Cincinnati. Sandy Koufax was there to play basketball. He happened to be playing in a baseball game. A Dodger scout happened to come by on his way to Kentucky to see somebody, and Sandy Koufax was there pitching. If he wouldn't have went there that day, Sandy Koufax may not have become who he is. But analytics probably showed that he wasn't a good pitcher.
Right. No, you know what? I'm with you. And our guest is Branson Wright, who's a filmmaker and a freelance journalist, writes great pieces for the undefeated.com, a part of ESPN.com, and has covered baseball for a long time, knows the game. Somebody I respect his baseball knowledge, because, you know, baseball, there's two sports you can't fake, Branson. You can't fake baseball and you can't fake hockey. If you don't know those two, you know, if you don't know those two games, man, people know right away. Am I right?
You're right. You're right. And I want to add a third. You can't play boxing.
Right. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. So Ricky played 14 years in the major leagues. He made the All-Star team in 2011, all that. We know had some great success with the Brewers, played for the Diamondbacks. But now tell us, you know, what he's doing now in the community, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, well, he's a consultant to anybody that wants to learn how to hit. You know, this is the guy you call. He and his brother, his brother played in the majors briefly also. They have a program on camps that they run in the Orlando area. And then they, you know, got a call from the organization that ran the All-Star game and was able to, you know, help the young players there become a face so they could see an HBCU graduate had success in baseball. So he's just doing all he can to just make sure that Black kids play the game and get the support for those that do play the game, for those that are successful. So, you know, kudos to Ricky for doing that. And hey, it was a hard time to catch him because he does so much in his community and around baseball. But I was glad to finally get in touch with him and able to do the story.
Man, there it is. Go take a look at it on undefeated.com. His name is Branson Wright. His brother knows baseball. I appreciate you. Thanks for joining the podcast, and we'll see you down the road, Branson.
Anytime, anytime.
In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.